What we just moved into is a very interesting point, which is the difference between simcha, happiness, and really schok, which is kind of joking. Right now, joking, I want to just explain what a joke is, the importance of joking and the dangers of joking. That's going to be today's topic. Again, we talked about that Rav was machbid to start every shir with a joke. The Gemara says in Shabbos that he would loosen up the crowd that way. And joking is a tremendous tool to do things like that, to break tension, to cheer people up. Actually, the Gemara in Tainus says that that Eliyahu was pointing out people who were b'nei olam haba, people who were zocha to be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in olam haba, and one group was the people who were jesters. When they saw that people were sad, they would cheer them up, which means that we don't really, it's underrated. The idea of a joke is underrated. It's a very big deal to be able to cheer somebody up. Actually, the Baal HaTanya writes that when a person makes a joke that's L'Shem Shamayim, so he's mala it up to Kedusha, he raises his dibor to Kedusha, you actually get schar and olam haba for that. My mashkiach, Rav Naftali Kaplan, I feel like gave me a shimush in jokes. He's a very serious person, Rav Naftali. He's a man in his mid-80s, and he's a man who really, he doesn't even, scratch his cheek or anything like that without thinking first. I know for a fact that that's where he's holding. And nevertheless, every time I speak to him, he's light and he gives me a joke, a good word. It's an important tool. And I think he felt that I was too serious. When I was younger, when I was a little kid, I was a clown. But then I got a little too serious. And I think my mashgiach tried to bring me back. And if a person's too stiff and too tight, so they're not going to even be able to have proper relationships with people. It's too easy to be around them. And ultimately, you lose everything you're doing. I mean, imagine here, I'm supposed to represent, Donnie Farkas, how you doing? It's good to see you. I'm supposed to represent Torah and Yerushalayim. Imagine if every time people went to me, they would sweat from nervousness that I'm a heavy guy or I'm going to bark at them. They would eventually actually run away from Hashem. And you know what? It would even be my fault because it's too heavy. And what are you doing? And is Hashem really that heavy? And that's a misrepresentation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there is a certain importance to the idea of schok, which is more than happiness. It's a certain lightheartedness. But today we're going to talk about how schok can get out of hand. The sefer here says, mina simcha yavo schok. What starts as regular happiness can end up turning into schok, which in English, I guess, is called frivolity. I usually don't like these fancy words, but for lack of a better term, frivolity, it's where things are getting too happy. And we find even in halacha that this is the case. For example, there's something called bahab. Right after a yontif, there are fasts. There are tanesim of Monday, Thursday, and then another Monday. Why? Because the simchas yontif got out of hand, which is kind of funny. I mean, here we are in a yontif, and it's supposed to be a yontif, but everyone knows that there's trouble on yontifs, right? There's trouble in Lawrence, right? How many Lawrence guys do we have here? There's probably trouble.
It's a mess over here.
It's a mess. And even Akiva Schoenberg will admit that it could be a mess in RBS, right, Akiva? Could be. For the young ones. Not for Akiva, Chas V'Shalom, but Akiva could attest to the fact that there are lost souls even in RBS. Everywhere you go, when there's happiness, there are people who like to take advantage of the happiness and take it to the next level. They turn the simcha into schok, That's very dangerous because simcha is a very responsible thing. When a person's happy, in a good mood, geschmack, he's really in control. But when things get to schok, people start saying, like, you know, you're enjoying your present, your friends, and then all of a sudden you feel too light and you give them a one-liner, oh, that was like, that went over the border. Or even with a Rebbe, you're very geschmack with your Rebbe and it's very light, but once all of a sudden a guy says a line that, whoa, he passed the gvul. So there's simcha and there's schok, and it's very important to always watch the boundary. I myself have this hard time because I like to be very funny and happy, but sometimes I take myself to task that I went overboard and I overdo it. So it's something to be aware of. So let's go inside here. Intelligent people, thinking people, aren't marbe in schok. Usually when there's this thing called schok, there's das kala. What does das kala mean? It means that real serious thought requires a certain type of heaviness, seriousness, when you're trying to think about something seriously. So you can't have too much jokes. Sometimes I've had chavrusas or whatever, who are like all jokes, and you really can't even concentrate with such a person because there's the things you're involved in are serious and require a certain amount of thought. So the Baal Schok is too light to be able to get into things on a serious level. So therefore, Schok is not something that's encouraged, especially at this point when a person's trying to take life seriously. Just like the voice under a cauldron of the thorns, so too is the schok of the ksil. Meaning he makes a lot of noise and there's nothing significant to what he's saying. A lot of times people go like, what are you saying? Like, what are you saying? Right? Bachram loves to do that. What are you saying? And the reason is because what is he saying? Like, he just went over. He went over the line. And sometimes it'll happen in a VOD. You know, you'll see one guy will say a line, and then the more serious guys will be like, can't believe you just said that. Right? And there's a mila that the more mature Bachrim don't like that line because they feel like it's overboard. And sometimes I'll say a line, and then on my screen here, I'll see the younger guys laughing, and then the older guys will be like, can't believe Stark just said that. He went over the line, right? So everybody has to deal with this problem. Ukvar nemar me'osus ha-shota. It's actually a sign of a madman. Somebody who's a madman. That what? She'sochek b'magim she'en ra'i bo haschok. One of the signs of madness is when someone laughs at inappropriate times. Right, your person's at a levaya, Rachman Otzan, and there's a guy in the crowd going, pretty good, right? Anyway, sorry, my daughter's like that one. They're also in this mod. They've never seen me do that, but obviously. And at first, people will probably be offended in the levaya, and then they'll assume that the person is actually mentally ill, because nobody does that. But why is he bringing that in here? If he's talking to people who are not mentally ill, what he's trying to say is all of us have a part of us that's really mental in that way. Meaning we're in a serious situation, we're doing something serious over here, and we're just like, where are we? Like, come on, let's get into it. Let's be serious about it. Let's do this. Sometimes it's like so many jokes, like you feel like you can't get into it. You can't, come on, we're here to do something. Okay, it's nice. We started with a joke, but let's move forward. That's the idea of not being marbe b'schok. And a shota, he's mamish out to lunch. He's always thinking that everything's funny. And a person who's serious about life, who's a Baal Musar, shouldn't hang out in these groups where they just like roll over in laughter. A lot of these groups have to do with drinking. which maybe we'll talk about another time. But it's, why does it come with drinking usually? It's people who love that chill, like the chill of just like carefree, of just silliness. So sometimes they can't even get to it without drinking, because it's, you know, you, it's not just easy to just sit down and like just start laughing out loud. But a person who's a Baal Musar shouldn't hang out in such chills that are like that. Because it's hard to have Yerushamayim when that's your general attitude in life. Yerushamayim is something serious. Again, it's not something scary, Yerushamayim, but Yerushamayim requires a certain amount of seriousness of character. The people who are all jokes, they really can't fear something. It's hard to fear when you're like all jokes like that. It's really impossible to have a feeling of Yerushamayim during schok. So the human being, the Tzelem Elokim, is filled with so many beautiful experiences. He's filled with simcha, he's filled with chesed, but the Tzelem Elokim also needs moments of seriousness, heaviness, a feeling of awe and inspiration. And the Baal Schok, who's always, always laughs, never really experiences those incredible moments of fear. Now, I know it sounds funny, we're usually afraid of fear, but fear is a wonderful feeling. If a person ever feels they're in the presence of greatness, they feel like a certain sense of pachad. And it's a great feeling. They feel like something's more real in their life than they thought. People who love simcha, you could also love fear. There's a pasuk, it's an interesting pasuk, it says, Gilu bira'ada, rejoice in your fear. I can tell you that when I've gone to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and you're standing there frozen, but you're excited, it's like exhilarating. It's much more exciting than sometimes the things that just make you so happy, because it's a feeling of being in the presence of greatness. And the Baal Schok can't really have that, because everything has to be a joke to him. You know, while he's on the line to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, while you're getting ready, he's got his one-liners, or, you know, he's playing with his phone or whatever it is. It's going to miss that experience, miss that that real excitement. So I think that's an important thing to realize, is that that fear is not something that's we should run away from. A lot of times I'm waiting to come back to certain feelings of fear. It's almost like, you know, just like a person wants to be happy. Sometimes I want to experience that b'chein tein pachtecha, like we daven on Rosh Hashanah, to experience the feeling of being in front of Hashem. When we're davening, there's a certain feeling of Eved Lefnei HaMelech, and it's very hard, especially during these times, while we're davening B'Yechidus. At least I'm still davening B'Yechidus. I don't know who else is. I see Nathanael's raising his hand. I'm going to get to you in a second. This is very exciting. We have a blue hand. The technology is great. This is my first time picking up a blue hand. Wait, now it disappeared. Oh, it goes away. The technicians over here told me that the blue hand disappears. So anyway, to get a feeling in davening of being bifnei Hashem is such a great feeling of being real with the davening. A lot of times I start a davening and I feel flat. And I'm not looking for a feeling of simcha. I'm looking for a little bit of a feeling of a feeling of awe and heaviness, a feeling of being in front of my maker. That's a great feeling, and that's hard to get. We're going to call on Nisanel. Nisanel, you want to take yourself off mute and ask your kasha?
Yeah, how are you, Rabbi? Is there a difference between a guy giving the jokes, like saying over the jokes, and a guy that's just laughing at them just to have a good time?
So listen, there's nothing wrong with jokes, again, but if there's something serious to get done, then sometimes the jokes are a distraction. Jokes as a tension breaker are always good. You know, like when you're in a tense moment and someone has a way of like breaking the tension, it's great. But sometimes, like, you got together to work on a chabura, right? Or a chesed project or something else. And you're not getting anything done over here. There are serious things going on. You got together to raise money for a certain tzedakah. Now, this is a serious matter. So, okay, we started with a couple jokes, but the guy's not stopping. The guy's not stopping. And then if you keep laughing, you're also not being productive and you're also not getting into a zone. So it's not really about who's making the joke. It's the atmosphere. There are a lot of things in life that need a more serious atmosphere. And if you lose that atmosphere, then it's a problem. I'll tell you, you know, honestly, I don't know how many people knew about the schmooze. There was a schmooze. Did the guys know about it? I gave a schmooze on Thursday. Did the guys know? You can raise your little blue hands. I gave a schmooze. I hope you'll hear it. Whoever didn't hear it, it's on recording. It's a very strong, it's a very powerful schmooze. I don't know who heard it, who didn't, but I honestly highly recommend it. It has to do a lot with what's going on now. And I hope this Wednesday to also give a schmooze. So there was a discussion. I originally wanted the schmooze to be what's called a webinar where nobody could see each other. And the reason was because I was worried. I'll tell you why. Because let's say somebody's wearing a t-shirt or something, or someone's driving in the car, which again, people are busy and I understand it's hard to follow a schedule when you're not really officially in a yeshiva. But let's say I'm giving a schmooze. So in yeshiva, everyone's dressed exactly like yeshiva. Everyone's in the room listening. It creates a certain atmosphere. So I was nervous that that if people are going to be in the car, or maybe even people could make funny faces at each other, it could ruin the schmooze. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that again. And I'll tell you why. Because people like seeing everybody else, which is a big mila. When you're in a schmooze, you don't realize it, but you're getting chizuk from being in a room of 100 people. When you're in a room of 100 people, it makes you feel good. Like you're looking, hey, there's David. Hey, there's Yoshua. Hey, there's Yanko. Everybody's feeling good about seeing each other. So I'm going to next time put everyone, make it available that I can see everyone and that they can see everyone. But what I'm trying to explain is, though, atmosphere is so important. I don't know how to answer these. These are technology problems. You can't replace yeshiva. But when you're in yeshiva and there's a schmooze and everyone's sitting in their place and we close down the Ezra's Nashim, there's a certain seriousness which helps people then understand the Torah that they're learning. But on the other hand, you know, what can happen is once things just get too light, then you just lose what's happening. You lose even the beauty of it. So I think that's the message for today.